I want to say thanks to Allison for quite a spacey show. That fits right into the lifestyle I've been living lately. So thanks a lot. That was a good show. It's always nice to see you. She comes every other week. She's the opposite of Diamond, the mischievous mermaid. So thanks again for a great show. I appreciate it. Here we are. This is 5 o'clock. This is KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea. And I want to say that the Kauai Earth Connection is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee, Qingyang Village, and Callahan Chiropractor.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate grown Kauai Coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
Alaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, electromagnetic cellular therapy, and spinal rehab. Most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday, 332-5580 or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
KKCR, Hale, KAQA, Kilauea, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its management, staff, or underwriters.
Oh, thank you so much for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
Radio.
Hey, radio. Here we are for our third Monday, Mixed Plate Monday. This is the Kauai Earth Connection, a news and commentary show.
News and commentary on the Kauai environment. Hi, this is Gordon Lopez, and the opinions you're going to hear are ours and ours alone. And we'd love to have a two-hour call-in show, but we only have an hour show, so we're not going to take calls, unfortunately, because we've got stuff to cover, and our news and opinions are going to eat up the hour that we have. So thanks for not calling. Unless you have some information that you want to add to us, we can take that, but we can't respond. So thanks again for listening to Kauai Earth Connection. We're going to go over the news and issues of the Kauai environment for the last month. And we always start first with the Surfrider Foundation Blue Water Task Force water test results just done this Saturday. And they were remarkably clean.
I think the cleanest we've ever done. Yeah. We've been doing this for 4 years, maybe?
4 or 5 years, something like that, yeah. And it is not that unusual because when you think about it, September, August, there's not much rain. And rain is what really kicks up the water pollution as things flow down to the ocean. But we did pretty well. I mean, the overwhelming majority of beaches were clean.
A lot less red than usual.
Yeah. You want to read the clean ones?
Well, the ones that, bear in mind, less than 10 is on this scale is considered acceptable.
Yeah, yeah.
And Waikoko, they were... Oh, no, they didn't do Moloa and Waikoko, but they did Wild High. That was less than 10. PKs. Kalia, Salt Pond, Kapa'a County Beach Park, Kahalani, Rock Quarries, Kali'iwai, Pine Trees, Anahola, Horners.
I don't know Horners.
I'm not sure. No, I was just going to ask you.
Yeah.
And Bowl, Waimea River. All those were 10 or less.
Waimea River is shocking because that's usually very high. They average 236. For the year, and it was less than 10, so that definitely means there wasn't any rain out on the west side.
That's amazing, amazing. Yeah. And then we roll into the on the scale up into the 20, Middles and Kalapaki Bay. Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
How we doing? And then we roll into some dirty ones. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Pakala's, you know, I asked Carl Berg, I said, Carl, has Pakala ever been normal? And he said, I don't think so. Maybe once. But Pakala Bay is out on the west side. It's a really well-known and popular surfing area. And the water there is always brown. But brown water doesn't necessarily mean polluted.
It can. The reason the water is brown at Pakala is primarily because of the sand out there. But the cows give the pollution at Pakala. The Robinsons run cattle up the stream, and they poop and pee in the stream.
Kind of like the dairy might do.
It's got potential.
Potential.
For you know, sure. No, because the Robinsons have like 10 cows.
Oh.
They don't have a lot of cows.
Yeah. Are you speculating?
I'm just guessing by what I see in the morning, you know, but... they don't have that many cows. I think they just have cows for tax purposes to make that land agricultural. You know, I don't think they really.
So it could be higher with more cows.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Hear that, Kaloa?
Yeah. So now Willy Willy Stream is always dirty, and that's where the little kids play in by the park there. And it's what, 294, normal being 10. So, yeah, it's not Willy Willy Stream is bad. And Kaloa Landing, one of our most polluted beaches on the island where they teach skin diving, was 496, which is pretty clean for Kaloa Landing.
Right, because the yearly mean is 1,565.
Yeah. And it's,
0.3.
And, you know, the thing about it is... You don't when you're swimming in this kind of water or you're surfing, you keep your head out of the water. You're not going to be prone to swallowing water or getting it up into your sinuses and stuff. But when you teach skin diving, I'm sorry, that's not a place where skin diving should be taught. And
they know this, but they still go ahead and do it
anyway.
Pretty amazing. Honolulu.
Yeah,
771, and Niamalu County Beach Park used to be our number one at 836, but we got the ringer that really brings up our average.
Yeah, wow. So I just got this from Dr. Berg over at Surfrider Foundation. I tested the water at Mahalepu yesterday.
You did?
No, Carl did. I'm reading what he's
writing. Oh, I was going to say. You weren't.
And summary of testing,
Anyway.
They've been testing since March 7th, and wow, it's dirty. What is it?
I warn you, those students are not prepared to hear this stuff.
What's the number?
The turbidity should be 1.5, and the turbidity is 5, 30, and 36. Turbidity means the murkiness of the water. The Enterococcus should be less than 35, and the Enterococcus is at the beach is 831 in the ocean, which is
800,
really high. 800. I mean, it was higher than anything we tested. Kaloa Landing was worse, and so was Niumalu at the beach. But the stream at the cave was 8,806. And
8,000. Less than 10 is considered acceptable.
Dangerous. And the stream at the gate was 8,755.
You know what gets me is...
and there's no cows yet.
No cows.
No cows yet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the Blue Water Task Force results for this month. And it's a perfect segue into the next issue that is... come to fore in the Kauai environmental movement, and that is, should there be a dairy at Grove Farm near the Hyatt, near Mahalepu Beach, and should there be a dairy? To say a dairy, I mean, it's a CAFO, a concentrated animal CAFO, feeding operation, CAFO. And what that means is that you take all these cows and put them in a small area, and they want to bring, 800 cows in first and then make it a couple thousand. And
well, actually, they want to do the revised plan is 578 acres. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So, I mean, the amount of cows they want to bring is enormous. It's a lot of cows. And they say that the waste won't leave the property because they're going to use the waste to fertilize the grass that the cows are going to eat. And there's not enough grass for that many cows to eat, so they're going to feed them the GMO corn, no doubt, which they'll probably ship from the mainland to here.
their argument is that this is locally grown food.
Sustainable.
Sustainable.
Well, it was, if you consider they grew it here, sent it off, grew it somewhere else, and brought it back. It actually, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about the cow's milk. I mean, they're sending it to Oahu to process because there's no milk processing facility here. So to say it's locally grown, I mean, it's absurd.
And they have to ship in to supplement the feed because the grass isn't enough for them. So they got to ship in up to 30% of the cow's diet.
Yeah.
There was an article in the paper yesterday. There was a couple good quotes. Lisa Woods Munger, she's an attorney representing the Kawailoa development. And Munger said the revised plan for the Hawaii dairy farms contains incomplete, inconsistent, and contradictory information. Hawaii Dairy Farms does not come close to meeting its burden of demonstrating that no pollution or harmful environmental degradation will occur. The plan should be therefore rejected by the department because it's being looked at right now.
And, you know,
Department of Health.
There's an area in Southern California that was cattle land for decades. And now, because of all the cow poop and cow pee, that groundwater is completely contaminated and can't be used anymore. And it's if you drink that groundwater, it's got so much nitrogen and nitrates in it that it causes methemoglobinuria in little kids and pregnant women. It's a dangerous, can be fatal condition. And there's a whole lot of wells out there in the Mahaulepu area. With that many cows, you're going to contaminate the wells, and that's a gigantic issue. The studies that Dr. Berg, Surfrider Foundation, is doing is really how is it going to impact the ocean? How is it going to impact the beach? Why is it so polluted already? It's not at all clear why it's polluted.
It's been hammered on for, you know, decades and decades. It had the sugar cane there, and there's some local farming that goes, livestock farming that goes on upstream, and there's all the GMO stuff. I know that doesn't, some of that doesn't pertain to what Surfrider.
Yeah, Surfrider tests for bacteria, so the bacteria is coming from animals, and there must be some animals up there. I know there's a horse stables up there, and apparently there's a lot of wild pigs up there.
Enough to...
I don't know. That's really polluted. I mean, it's really one of the most, if not the most polluted streams on the island, so it's a real issue. The Hyatt has sued the dairy farm and asked the Department of Health not to grant the permit to build it because the Hyatt's worried about the smell for their guests. And, that'll be interesting because the Hyatt is downwind from this dairy farm, so it could be an issue. I went out there and looked. It's pretty far from the Hyatt, so it'll be interesting to see. But the prevailing wind goes right to the... to the Hyatt Hotel, and that's a pretty, I think it's $400 or $500 a night hotel. You don't want to smell cow poop
right
when you're on a vacation at the Hyatt.
You can stay at the one by the Lydgate and smell. Smell all the nasty you can over there.
Yeah. So the question of do we need a dairy farm, and what about agriculture on Hawaii? Land here is so expensive, is it reasonable to build a dairy farm in a resort area? I don't know. These are things that need to be worked out, and the finances need to be worked out. I mean, it's a lot like a lot of these bad environmental ideas. They usually cost so much that they die of their own weight. And I kind of feel that's what's going to happen to this dairy farm. It seems like it really, financially, it doesn't seem like a very good idea. And to to milk cows and see.
Well, somebody thought it was, or else they wouldn't be trying to do it.
Oh, that billionaire guy.
Yeah. Yeah, what's his name? The billionaire guy? I forgot his name. Supposed to be a real good guy, but he's not very popular in Kaloa. I know that. Isn't he the same billionaire guy that wants to build that hotel in Hanalei?
Yeah.
Hanalei Ridge Hotel and spoil the view of Hanalei Bay. And yeah, so he's not real popular on Kauai, but I understand he's a good guy in other ways. Never met the man. But the bottom line is the Malama Maha'alepu folks have been negotiating with the dairy farm, trying to influence them to create practices that will have less of an environmental impact on the beach area at Maha'alepu. And apparently they just had a meeting and they decided that the negotiations have pretty much broken down, and Malama Maha'alepu is not happy with the dairy farm now, and they're really going to work against it. So I know the Surfrider Foundation has been working against it, and primarily we've been looking at ways to examine the water that's there now so we can compare it to later and complain about the impact. So dairy farm in Kaloa area, not a good idea. Hopefully it'll die of its own weight. And it's a project like many other projects that probably won't net out financially. So I'm just hoping that it'll go away on its own. Yeah.
I'd like to make 2 points that have seemed to be left out on that whole scene. One, I read comments and letters to the editor, and they keep talking about how that area is pristine land, and I don't understand how it's pristine. I mean, it's been hammered on by a big ag for well over 100 years, and that's the point I'd like to point out. I mean, if anything, it needs remediation. And the other point I'd like to put out is, you know, milk does not do a body good anyway.
You know, those are two super good points. I mean, pristine, a lot of people, if they see that there's no condos built on it and the land is green, they call it pristine. A lot of people think golf courses are beautiful. Green doesn't mean pristine. Green, corn is green, and corn is full of poisons and pesticides. And that whole Maha'alepu grow farm area is pesticide city. They do pesticides experiments out there. They spray the stuff with all their chemicals, and they have the GMO corn that's, Roundup ready so that you can spray more chemicals on it.
Right.
There's nothing pristine about Maha'alepu.
Right.
Nothing.
That's
it's
what
absurd.
I mean, it's got that old sugarcane mill that's so toxic they can't tear it down.
Yeah.
You know, and all the waste that the sugarcane industry left behind, they just went, oh, we're done.
Yeah.
And walked away.
Just walked away, you know. So the beach is pristine.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful beach.
Just don't touch the water.
Don't go inland and call it pristine. The other thing is, you know, and you hit a sore point with me, because I've been a retired doctor and spent most of my life railing against meat and dairy. As I was a family doctor my whole career. And there's nothing more unhealthy than regular fat dairy products. I mean, there's nothing worse than you can eat, except maybe margarine with trans fats in it. To say milk does a body good is just idiotic. I mean, it's one of the worst things you can eat. It's full of saturated fat. It clogs up your arteries and causes heart attacks and strokes and kidney failure. And I can go on this subject, because it's a pet peeve of mine. But if you are going to
go fast,
and plus it's pasteurized, so that there is any good bacteria,
that's right too. If you're going to eat dairy, and I don't recommend it, but if you are, eat non-fat dairy.
They've done some tests, and they found out that smoking is actually a healthier practice than drinking milk.
You know,
as a smoker,
amazing.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah. That, and eating eggs is as dangerous as smoking cigarettes. You know, and all these years we've been saying cigarettes are the most dangerous things. And they are. They are very dangerous. But
these foods that they're calling sustainable foods are you know, not good for you. They're not good for your body, and it's something that shouldn't be promoted, in my view. Corn is a product that was grown on this island. It's grown primarily for seeds, and the seeds are grown primarily to feed cows. 80% of the corn in the United States is grown to feed cows. It's an enormously inefficient way to make quote-unquote protein. It takes 8 pounds of corn to produce 1 pound of beef. And corn is a... If I'm not talking high fructose corn syrup here, I'm talking corn on the cob. Corn is a pretty healthy food. You know, if you eat corn tortillas or cornmeal or corn, you know,
cornbread.
Yeah, it's a healthy food. But feeding corn to cows just doesn't make sense. It's not an efficient way. It's extremely wasteful. And you know, again, I don't want to turn this into a why you shouldn't eat meat and dairy show, because you shouldn't. If you care about the environment, you shouldn't eat any animals at all.
Well, if you care about yourself.
Or yourself. Yeah, that's right. You know,
if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have took better care of myself.
Right. Right. So, again, the dairy farm at Mahalalepu still maintained it doesn't have a permit yet, and lots of folks are opposing it. And I believe there's going to be a public meeting coming up pretty soon in Kailua about it and how to deal with it. But I don't have the date on that, so we can't argue it. So, moving right along, this is Gordon LeBeds, and this is the Kauai Earth Connection. We're going over the news and commentary on Kauai environmental issues, conservation issues, and we just talked about the water quality results, the dairy farm at Kailua, and now it's important to mention the monk seals. You guys probably all heard that a monk seal was killed, a baby monk seal was killed by a pack of feral dogs, and monk seals, there's only a few hundred left. And these guys are really close to extinction. There used to be a lot of them out at the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, but the factory fishing boats killed all their food. So the monk seals population just plummeted out there in Northwest Hawaiian Islands. And the only healthy monk seals turned out to be in the main Hawaiian Islands. And there was quite a hubbub because fishermen don't like monk seals because they feel that they're competing with them for their fish. And the fact of the matter is monk seals were here long before the Hawaiians were here. And, you know, the fact that there weren't many of them in these fishermen's lifetimes doesn't really mean a thing. I mean, they were mostly just killed and eaten. But these guys have a right to not go extinct. And the good news is that there were 4 births of new monk seals on Kauai, on our island. And that's pretty cool because, you know, they seem to be healthy and living. And I'm sorry to say that the dogs that killed that monk seal were killed. But, you know,
well, I wish we'd hold our Navy that accountable.
Yeah, really. It's feral dogs can be dangerous. I mean, they go in packs and, you know, they can be dangerous even to little kids. So that's a sad story that humans have let dogs run amok and not taking care of their pets. Lots of people just leave the island and leave their pets run amok. And it's a human problem, not a dog problem. So that's the story.
If you'd like to learn more about the 2014 political candidates, please visit the KKCR.org audio archives page. There you will find links to political forums recorded live in July and early August. Kauai Community Radio, keeping you informed. Visit KKCR.org.
And you're listening to Kauai Earth Connection. It's 5:25, and this is news and commentary. We've covered the water quality tests, the dairy, and the monk seal deaths and births. And
we're going to cover the election, and I hope you listen, because there's a lot going on environmentally on this election, and I think it's an important election. But let's just talk a little bit. We mentioned on this show frequently the Kikiaola Boat Harbor, and I know most of the listeners here probably never even been to Kekaha and never even heard of Kikiaola Boat Harbor, but it's a small boat harbor out on the west side that has taken lots and lots of your taxpayer money. It was built on a beach. They call it a harbor, but it's not a harbor. It was two jetties built on a beach, and because it was built on a beach instead of a natural harbor, it silts up. It fills up with sand. And about 5 years ago, they spent $22 million to repair it and dredge it and la-da-da-da-da. And as soon as they did it, within 6 months, it filled up with sand again. And this time, they took 80,000 cubic yards, that's 8,000 truckloads of sand from one side of the harbor and brought it over to the other side of the harbor. And the idea was, well, maybe if we get rid of that sand on one side of the harbor, it won't silt up the harbor. Well, the fact of the matter is, by my observations and by the fishermen who use the harbor, it actually made it worse again, because it stirred up all that sediment into the water and came into the harbor. So right in front of the harbor is a really shallow sandbar, and what happens is when these boats go in, they have to power through this wave. Well, if you pay attention to the ocean on the south shore, we had some pretty nice or pretty big waves coming in from the south last weekend. And last night, a boat came in. This was midnight. A boat came in and hit that sandbar, hit those waves, and capsized. And this is my neighborhood, so I watched this whole deal. There was fire trucks and ambulances and policemen and 20 people, because there were three guys out in the water yelling for help, you know, on these big, big surf, 10, 12-foot waves just crashing around, and the boat capsized. And that harbor is dangerous, and it's time that people start advocating to close that harbor. And, you know, it's not a popular point of view from the point of view of the fishermen who use the harbor. They want the harbor to be fixed. But there's no fixing that harbor. You just don't build a harbor on a beach.
It never was a harbor. You said it was a beach with two jetties, right?
Yeah, it's a beach with two jetties.
And they made it into a harbor.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, it's not really a harbor.
It needs to be taken down, and that's the only long-term solution. And you know, Port Allen is only a 15-minute drive by car, maybe not even, maybe a 10-minute drive by car, and probably a 20-minute drive by boat. So it's time to stop throwing taxpayer money down a rabbit hole and just get over it and close that harbor. It's just silly. God knows what they're doing next. I spoke to the Army Corps of Engineers, and in two or three years they plan to dredge the harbor. But in two or three years, that harbor, I think, will turn into a beach, because it's only about 3 feet deep right now, and a lot of boats can't even use it. So, I think a big issue that we talk about a lot on this show is jetties, groins, seawalls. They're there to stop the ocean. Forget it. You can't stop the ocean. The ocean's going to do what the ocean does, and that is wash water. And when the waves get big, you can't stop the ocean. And that's the human arrogance, that we can build concrete and protect roads and protect houses and protect things that were built too close to the beach. Jetties of the small boat harbor are taught in oceanography schools. The Kikiaola Harbor is taught in schools as probably the worst designed harbor in the United States. And and it's a textbook example. All the sand has washed on one side of the harbor, and all the sand on the other side is eroded. So, you know, it's important that we, whenever we see somebody build a seawall or put sandbags up, that we understand what's going on so that we can go to the planning department, or in this case, it's the state that approves these things, not the county. But it's just not good policy to put concrete and rocks on the beach. It's just not good policy. It doesn't work. So again, we're moving right along. This is the Kauai Earth Connection. We're covering the news and commentary of the Kauai environment, and for this month. And this is Gordon LeBedz talking about the various and sundry issues. And what I wanted to mention again here is the Federal Hawaiian Humpback Whale Sanctuary. Their new management plan is probably going to come out in October. Maybe later. It's hard to say. But they have come up with a management plan that's put in a few rules, a few protections for various areas in the Hawaiian Islands. And the areas are, none of them are on Kauai. Unfortunately, one of their alternatives is to put the protections in all the area of the sanctuary in Hawaii. But that's alternative four. Alternative three is their preferred alternative, which is protections in the Maui area and a small bay in Honolulu near Waikiki. So it's not much. It's not too impressive. They want to put Niihau in the sanctuary area. They're not going to include any protections for Niihau. They're just going to draw a line around it and say it's in the sanctuary. And, you know, it's really not going to do anything for the animals and fish that live there. But it's a feel-good thing, and I think the Robinsons have been advocating for it. I'm not sure why. But there are no marine protected areas on the island of Kauai. And it's time for us to start thinking about marine protected areas. Yeah, RIMPACT. Protect the areas from RIMPACT. Protect them from sonar and speedboats and jet skis and overfishing and gill nets and all the, you know, there's got to be some areas that are just protected, just like wilderness areas. And one of the first areas that is coming on the table is a marine managed area called the community-based sustainable fishery in Haena. And on October 3rd, they're having, hopefully, their final meeting after an eight-year process of the local folks in Haena who have put together a group, a system of rules as to what you can and cannot do in this area, what kind of fishing you can do, what kind of equipment you can use, et cetera, et cetera. And that will be the first marine protected area on this island. And a bunch of folks from the conservation group Kohola Leo are thinking about perhaps putting a marine protected area off the shore of Mahalepu Beach, and perhaps even other areas, maybe even working with Robinsons at Niihau, because the Robinsons have said they want some protections of the fish and monk seals, etc., in Niihau. So it's an idea whose time has come. Marine protected areas have been worked on in other areas. In California, there's a state law, Marine Management Act, that has created a lot of marine sanctuaries and rules around what you can and can't do in the ocean. This is not a popular idea with fishermen, because fishermen want to do whatever they want to do, but it's wise fishermen, educated fishermen, know that if you leave some areas alone, that fish will grow and have babies, and they'll move out of that area and populate other areas, and there'll be more fish in the long run if you protect some areas. And I think that's got to be what we've got to do, is educate fishermen that a marine protected area is going to be in the long run an asset for them and not a liability. But right now it's a tough sell here on Kauai. Most of the leaders in the fishing community are just pretty, like, you know.
How long do you think it would take? I mean, suppose they say, all right, this part is, we're not going to touch, and they leave it 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, maybe.
Yeah,
more
within a couple of years, it comes back. Yeah. You know, I say there's no marine protected areas, but there is an area out by the PMRF, the Pacific Missile Range facility, that is blocked off because of the Navy has blocked it off. And that area is probably one of the healthiest reef systems on the island because no one goes there. You know, they got army guys with guns that keep you out of there.
Danger zone.
Yeah, danger zone. Danger zone. And I've seen that area, and it's quite healthy. That's not a state-managed area. That's simply just the U.S. Navy keep out. So bottom line is, it's time. It's an idea whose time has come. It's happened in other areas, and we need to do it. We need to push the Hawaiian humpback whale sanctuary to take stronger stands to protect the ocean. And you know, it's going to take grassroots activity, just like these guys in Haena. These are folks that did it themselves, and it took them 8 years to put it together. And it's done by the fishermen themselves for their own interests. So that's pretty cool. And hats off to all of those folks up in the North Shore who worked on that. So again, moving right along, we talked about water quality, the dairy farm, monk seal death. We lost one monk seal. We got four new ones. The Kikeaula harbor silting up, the marine protected areas. And it's now time to talk a little bit about the pesticides issues. The pesticides have been the big, big flashpoint issue here on the island the last year. And it's time to talk about Bill 960, because it got shot down in court because it wasn't it wasn't a charter amendment, it was legislation. And the court said, you know, it's not valid. And the bottom line is that was kind of predictable. That happened on that tax amendment a few years back, the Ohana amendment, and it happened on the limiting the hotel growth amendment too, the charter amendments. The courts are not buying it. And the reason that it was done that way is because it's easier to get a charter amendment. You need a lot less signatures than you do an initiative. You need twice as many signatures for an initiative. So the activists did it the easy way. And will they appeal? It's not clear yet whether the county will appeal. Friends of the court groups, the Surfrider Foundation and their attorneys, Earth Justice Foundation, definitely want to appeal. But I think the county has to agree to go forward to appeal. And
does the mayor have any decision making in that?
You know, I think that the council has to do it.
So they voted for it.
Yeah,
and so
they voted to sue.
It should be, or it should be already in place, since they decided to pursue this 960 bill, and they should follow through.
Yeah,
it seems clear enough to me.
You know, it's once you lose at one level of the court, it's a little tricky to decide. You know, I mean, the lawyers have to decide whether it's worth it. But the Earth Justice folks in Honolulu are adamant that they think they can win, so that they want to go forward. And again, they're
their plaintiffs are the Surfrider Foundation, and the Surfrider Foundation wants to go forward too, because it's an important precedent. And you know, I have here in my hand the Earth Justice Journal, and on the cover of it, it says "Small Town Inspires National Fracking Revolution," and I think that really pertains to here in Kauai, because this little town in New York made a law against fracking in their community, and the oil company said, "Nah, state and federal law trump you. You can't make a law against that." And the Earth Justice folks took it to the Supreme Court of New York State and won, and gave the town the opportunity to protect their public health from fracking. And, you know, it's true, it's in New York, it's not the Hawaii Supreme Court, so, but it is a trend that local towns can protect their local health. And we're hoping that Earth Justice prevails in Hawaii here and is able to say, you know, we want to protect ourselves from pesticides. The state isn't doing it, the feds aren't doing it, so we have to do it on the county level. And that's really Bill 960. That's what it's all about. I mean,
a little clarification. The 2491.
Oh, it's 2491
from the Bill 960. And you were we had a caller who said it was a little confusing because you were talking about the charter amendment as well, and it has nothing to do with the charter amendment.
Oh, you're right. The charter amendment. I'm sorry. I was confused about that. That was Kauai Rising's campaign, right. The charter amendment.
So anyway,
I just
wanted to clear that up.
Gary Hooser and Tim Bynum's bill.
Yeah.
The charter amendment went down because...
But going back to this, where a local town kind of took the state and feds to task and won about being able to protect their local area, you know, a friend of mine who's in construction talked about it happens all the time where a local area, as long as they exceed what the state and federal... regulations are in the construction field, they can set up more strict regulations. So it should carry right over to you know, the poison pushers.
It just seems reasonable. I mean, as long as it exceeds what the feds and state do, seems reasonable,
because they set the minimum standards.
So you know, let's see what happens. All power to Earth Justice. And it seems to me, my opinion, or just looking from a distance, the county attorneys seem to know what they're doing, too. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. And we're hoping the county government decides to appeal.
Yeah, it's interesting that... do you know what... how much money has really been spent? I mean, I read about it in the paper a bunch, people complaining about we shouldn't spend any more money on this because... Or, you know, they don't want to see it being spent on that.
A couple hundred grand.
You know, that's so much less than what our mayor took for gas in the audit, you know. Like, I mean, that's such a drop in the bucket compared to $4 million in overtime for KYPD and the Hawaii Fire Department last year.
Is that how much they spent?
$4 million on overtime last year.
Really?
You know, I mean, so it's interesting, the hypocrisy of the dollar amount. So far, it's, you know, it's pretty conservative.
$400 million.
No, $4 million.
$4 million.
$4 million just in overtime.
Wow.
Yeah.
$200,000 doesn't sound like much.
If it's $500,000.
And you know what? It's important.
Our health.
Yeah.
You know, our reefs, our rivers, our water. You know, our soil.
I mean, if all these pesticides kill our reefs, this island's in trouble, because those reefs protect the land from the waves.
Exactly.
And it's important. So $200,000, and it might cost, if you appeal it, it's going to cost a lot more.
But it's
worth it.
I think so. And I really commend Joanne Ikemura for at least trying to press the environmental impact aspect of it, which makes
health
sense
steady
to me. I mean, come on.
Well, I think that we need to spend the rest of this show just a little bit talking politics.
Wait a minute. I think we need to do this first.
Jaw Earth and Jaw Seeds! Fire Monsanto!
And Syngenta and Bayer and Pioneer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Monsanto just got... Didn't they just lost something? Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. There's a settlement.
of...
they were contaminating some non-GMO wheat. Right.
It was a non-approved GMO product that ended up in Oregon fields and also in Kansas.
That's right.
And they just settled. And usually when they settle, that means that it's kind of like admitting guilt, but different.
Yeah. When they settle, it means they can't win.
It's not worth their time, so we'll just shell out some more cash.
Monsanto is, years ago, in Waimea Theater, they showed a movie called The World According to Monsanto, and wow, what a nasty company. They go for your throat. They go all the way to just destroy your career and bankrupt you, and it was really an interesting film, The World According to Monsanto, if you get to see it. So, let's talk politics. The last election.
The primary.
We had the mayor won handily, Bernard Carvalho, against a new guy who's never been in office, who did pretty well for a new guy and didn't spend much money, Justin Barca. But the first place winner and the second place winner had 9,000 votes, really a lot of votes. Ross Gagawa and Mel Raposo are very, very pro-pesticide people, and they are really very much against the Hoosier Bynum bill, and they got the most votes of anyone. The third place guy was a guy named Errol Kaneshiro, who is a manager at Grove Farm. Grove Farm, of course, rents out to all the GMO companies. So then fourth was Joanne Yukimura. And Joanne is well known as a environmental advocate. Joanne gets a lot of criticism because she tries to please everyone and tries to compromise a lot.
Isn't that what politics is?
Yeah, and she's been at politics for a long time, so she likes to cut deals. Jay Farfaro was next. And then sixth and seventh were Hoosier and Bynum. For this next election, all the incumbents did pretty well, except Kaneshiro jumped up in the third place and knocked out Mason Chalk, who was just appointed. And Kaneshiro got 8,000 votes. Mason Chalk's got 5,000. So he did pretty well. So the bottom line is this. If you're a bullet voter, if you're a person that just votes on environmental issues and no other issues, then you're going to vote really for Bynum and Hoosier, because they came in sixth and seventh place. They're the strongest environmental candidates, and they're being chased by Kipukai Kualii and Daryl Perry, the police chief. So if you're a bullet voter, it's Hoosier and Bynum. If you're worried that the moderates are going to be swept under the rug by the pro-pesticide folks, which is a valid worry, then you might want to also throw in votes for Jay Farfaro, Joanne Yukimura. Mason Chalk has a shot at it. The other candidates that are good candidates for the environment, Ian Larneo and Felicia Cowden, pretty low on the list. They got some serious campaigning to do, but Felicia, as you probably know, has a good talk show here on KKCR, and Tyann Larneo was a leader in the GMO marches. They're good folks for the environment, this is an environmental show. There's a lot of reasons to vote for people other than the environment. For instance, if you want to keep marijuana illegal, you might want to vote for Daryl Perry and Mel Raposo. But bottom line is, for the environment, we've got some candidates that deserve our votes. It's something to think about how you want to put out
put out your ballot. Larnio has only got 3,700 votes, so even though she's a cool lady and somebody that we should support, if you vote for her, you're taking votes away from Tim Bynum and Gary Hauser. Yeah, so, you know, it's an interesting election. A lot of environmental folks are tired of Joanne Yukimura's compromising. But, you know, Joanne tends to vote right on the bottom line most of the time. And this is an important election. This is an important election. The GMO folks did really well. I mean, they really got out the vote this election. Mel Raposo came in first. That tells you they put a lot at. I was surprised that Arthur Brunn didn't do better because they put in a lot of money for Arthur Brunn. He's a young guy who works for one of the GMO companies, and even though he campaigns mostly on drug abuse issues, he's definitely a pro-pesticide kind of guy. So that's those are the kinds of things that you need to think about this election. And I think that it's going to be a big election. I think that and people are going to strike me down, but Bernard Carvalho is not that bad of a guy. You could do a lot worse as a mayor. But I think Dustin Barca is part of the new blood. He's part of the new wave of people. And in a few years, guys like Dustin and Larnio and Felicia Cowden, they're going to step forward and be the new leaders of Kauai, and they deserve our support. But there's the big buts. You know, do we want to lose Hauser and Bynum, who have been stalwarts? Remember, Bynum was the guy who put forward the banned plastic bags bill, which took a lot of heat for, and now plastic bags are banned all over the state. But back then, it was kind of a radical idea. California banned plastic bags, by the way, the state. That's pretty cool. So that's my take on the election. I think that we've got some campaigning to do. We'll see how it falls out. But I think that this election's more important than a lot. So this is
a few announcements.
Yeah,
because we're finished up.
Yeah, we're finishing up.
Sunset Jazz is 7 minutes away. And Thomas will come in
the house.
A little guest appearance there. You may recognize his voice from that wonderful Thursday show, Jungle Jukebox. So anyway, he's scouring the stacks as we speak. And some of the announcements, Kahola Leo movie this Friday.
No. September 26th.
September 26th, a week from Friday, next Friday.
Yeah.
At 7 p.m. at the Kapa'a Library. It's a movie, Dolphins, Tribes of the Sea. And that's a week from Friday, September 26th. Kahola Leo puts out movies at the Kapa'a Library starting at 7. Surfrider Foundation Net Patrol send-off. Tell us a little bit about that. I don't know what that is. September 27th at Restore Kauai.
The Matson. Is it Matson? No, Young Brothers. Young Brothers have donated a container to the Surfrider Foundation to take all the nets away from Restore Kauai and ship them to Oahu. Lots of tons and tons of nets have been picked up on our beaches by the Surfrider Foundation Net Patrol, and they're going to remove them, and they're going to have a little party, and that's September 27th. So if you're on the Surfrider Foundation listserv, you'll get a notice about that. You might mark that in your calendar. I think it'll be a fun event.
There's a meeting from the People for the Preservation of Kauai. That's back in action again.
Yeah.
September 16th, 5:30 in Princeville.
Yeah.
Where in Princeville?
I don't have the address, but if you email gentlewave... Oh, God. I forgot it. It's on...
tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Princeville.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
I saw it on Richard Diamond's list.
Okay,
know,
the Kauai Muse?
The Kauai Muse newsletter.
Try
Google
that.
Kauai Muse newsletter, and it'll be on there.
That's tomorrow, evening.
People for the Preservation of Kauai are working on this election, and their take on the election is a little bit different than mine. But I think what those guys are really doing is right on. It's really important to get involved in this election because this is the environment is forefront on this election.
And then there's a coastal cleanup day, September 20th at 9 o'clock at Maha'ulepu over and over by Poipu there. That's a beach cleanup, September 20th, 9 a.m. And should people bring anything if they're going to participate in that? And they can go to surfriderhawaii.org to get all the details and information with that.
And Malama Maha'ulepu is also co-sponsoring that one. And I think the Sierra Club is, too. That's Coastal Cleanup Day is done all over the United States, September 20th.
I see. Oh, okay. It's more than
deal.
The beach cleanup. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's what they do is they count the trash and
count on it. It'll be there.
It'll be there, yeah. you know, it's interesting that trash here in Hawaii and in the mainland, most of the trash comes from people who go to the beach. Well, here in Hawaii, most of the trash comes from the ocean, comes from ships and things running off from ships. That's why they call it marine debris. And, of course, the stuff that rolls down the streams and stuff. So Malama Maha'ulepu, Surf Rider Foundation, Sierra Club on September 20th, 9 a.m. at Maha'ulepu Beach. So that's our show today. Register to vote. Try to get some people who haven't voted before. Try to get them to vote.
If you so choose.
If you so choose.
Or desire.
You know, I when I was a young kid, I was involved in the civil rights movement, and I can tell you that black people weren't able to vote, and they fought hard for that right. And I know lots of you who out there don't think voting is worth it because there's nobody good to vote for, but if you give up your right to vote, you're going to be run by people that you don't
like
want.
We are now.
That are running it now. All right, folks. Thank you so much. We'll be here the third Monday of October. So
see you then.
All right. Thomas is up next with Jazz with John.
All that jazz. All
right. Sunset Jazz. There we go.
Thanks,
Sunset.
Folks.
All right.
Well, I saw it advertised one day that the Bear Mountain Picnic was coming my way. Come along and take a trip. We'll bring you up there on a ship. Bring the wife and family. Bring the whole kids. Yippee. Well, I run right down and bought a ticket to this thing called the Bear Mountain Picnic. Little did I realize I was in for a pleasant, funny surprise. It had nothing to do with picnic. Didn't come close to a mountain. I hate bears. Took the wife and kids down to the pier. There were 6,000 people there. Everybody had a ticket for the trip. Oh, well, I said, it's a pretty big ship. Besides, anyhow, the more the merrier. Well, we all got on, and where do you think that big old boat started to sink? More people kept piling on. That old ship was a-going down. Funny way to start a picnic. Well, I soon lost track of my kids and wife, so many people I never saw in my life. That old ship was sinking down in the water. There were 6,000 people trying to kill each other. Dogs are barking, cats are screaming, women are yelling, men are flying, fists are flying, paper flying, cops are coming, me running. Maybe we just better call off the picnic. I got shoved down, got pushed around. All I remember was a moaning.